It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Remember when they sent out the stimulus check? What was it, $1,200 or $1,600? Was it per person or per family? I don't even remember. But I still hear people on the news saying, well, you know, that $1,200 we sent out, that was massive, and people saved it, and people are still using it. What are they on, crack? That $1,200, I mean, I don't know, maybe they're measuring it some other way, but gosh, I had to spend mine, and I'm guessing that you spent yours. So $5,000 would go a long way. Okay, just before Spike left us, before the break, I threw in that the FDA has banned Juul e-cigarettes. So you think, right off the top, I thought, why did they ban Juul e-cigarettes? And I was trying to think, before I read the actual article, why did they do this? Is it because of health? Why is it? I thought, well, maybe these things are destroying people's lungs, and maybe that's why they did it. No, I was wrong. I guess, yes, ultimately, that might be why they banned them. And when I say they, I mean the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. Okay, from Associated Press, federal health officials on Thursday, today, ordered Juul. You know that you've seen it. It's J-U-U-L. They ordered Juul to pull its electronic cigarettes from the U.S. market. That's the latest blow to the embattled company, widely blamed for sparking a national surge in teen vaping. These things are illegal for kids to have. Just like old-fashioned cigarettes, it's illegal for kids to have them. The action is part of a sweeping effort by the FDA to bring scientific scrutiny to the multi-billion dollar vaping industry after years of regulatory delays. Parents, politicians, and anti-tobacco advocates wanted a ban on the devices that many blame for the rise in underage vaping. Yeah, because these things fly off the shelves and into children's mouths. I don't know how they got them to do that. Supporters of the Juuls, the vapes, say they can help smokers cut back on old-fashioned cigarettes. The FDA noted that Juul may have played a disproportionate role in the rise in teen vaping, and its application didn't have enough evidence to show that marketing its products would be appropriate for the protection of the public health. The agency has granted some e-cigarette applications. Since last fall, the agency has given its okay to tobacco-flavored e-cigarettes from R.J. Reynolds, Logic, and other companies. R.J. Reynolds, they make Winston old-fashioned cigarettes. But industry players and anti-tobacco advocates have complained that those products account for just a tiny percent of the $6 billion vaping market in the United States. Regulators repeatedly delayed making decisions on devices from market leaders, including Juul, which remains the best-selling vaping brand, although their sales have dipped. So just like that, in one fell swoop, the stroke of the pen, the number one vaping brand is finished. Last year, the agency rejected applications for more than a million other e-cigarettes and related products, mainly due to their potential appeal to teens. To stay on the market, companies must show that their products benefit public health, which obviously is why the company was making the case, hey, this is a product that people can use to get away from the cigarettes. In practice, that means proving that adult smokers who use the products are likely to quit or reduce their smoking, while teens are unlikely to get hooked on them. E-cigarettes, you may remember, first appeared in the United States more than a decade ago with the promise of providing smokers a less harmful alternative. The devices, here's how they work now. They heat a nicotine solution into a vapor that's inhaled, bypassing many of the toxic chemicals produced by burning tobacco. Well, that's tar. And I hate to say this, but I have to say this because, remember, in the spirit of full disclosure, I still smoke cigarettes. That's my ongoing gift from the United States Marine Corps. And I've been off and on, and I'm going to quit. My loved ones ask me to quit, so I'm going to. But now, if I wanted to switch over to Juul, I can't because the FDA banned it. Oh, wait, that just means I can't buy them at the drugstore or the liquor store anymore. That just means I have to get a contact on the illicit market and just buy them off the black market. Because remember, when these people ban something, they don't actually ban anything. They just force everybody to buy their products from the illicit market. And that's what these narco wars are about in Mexico. I think it might be, and again, this is just Clint throwing out numbers, but I'm fairly well informed. So when I do throw out a number, it's a ballpark, might be give or take. But I think there have been 500,000 people slaughtered in Mexico over the course of the last, what, 6, 8, 10 years in the narco wars? And I remember it's just like a couple weeks ago. Well, Trump said in a cabinet meeting that why don't we call in airstrikes on the narco terrorists? Why don't we call in airstrikes on the drug producers down in Mexico? Well, I mean, if you really want to end it, maybe that's the way to do it. They airstrike everybody else anyway. You know, they of course, the news report was written and geared to showing what an unhinged lunatic Trump is. And so it was a suggestion. But we look at the news that we get. Look at the news that's consumed. The news that we get all about what's going on in Ukraine. Well, our previous guest, Spike, was talking about the war in Yemen. And I imagine hundreds of thousands have died in Yemen, but we don't see that. We get the Ukraine thing, but just south of us, just south of our border is Mexico. And by an accident of history, a few accidents of history, the people who live a few hundred miles away in Mexico are not our countrymen, but the people who live 3,000 miles away in Yankee Doodle, Massachusetts, they are our countrymen. I happen to think that what's going on in Mexico is awful. And I know you do too. But why are they having narco wars? Because they're business people, bad business people, evil business people. Okay, got to give the disclaimer. But they're trying to get their product to market. What's their product? It's drugs. Where's the market? It's right here where I'm sitting in the United States. And they will do anything, including killing women and children and clergy people and tourists. They'll do anything to get their product to market. It's absolutely awful. But that's the illustration. That's the illicit market. That's how the illicit market works. And now somebody's going to try to find a way to get vapes into the hands of Americans who want them. Just because the FDA says it's a no-no doesn't mean that people are giving up their vapes. Okay. It's Clint and Ferre on News Talk 580 1059 KMJ. More news of the day and your phone calls coming up right after this.
Miss the show?
Get Ray Appleton.
Subscribe to the Ray Appleton podcast right now. It's free.
Welcome back to News Talk 580 1059 KMJ. Clint Olivier here, taking a day off as CEO of BizFed Central Valley to fill in for the great and the vacationing Ray Appleton. Ray is out the rest of this week, and he will be out next week, but then he will be back. So it's always an honor to be here with you. Want to remind you that the American Pistachio Growers presents KMJ's 100th anniversary celebration this fall at the Big Fresno Fair, and it's an amazing lineup. Tower of Power, the Appletones, you know who that includes, and Paul Rodriguez. So go to KMJ now. Get your ticket information. This is part of the Table Mountain Concert Series, and it's sponsored by Toyota and Modelo Especial. So, yeah, you'll definitely have to come out and party with us and enjoy that event. We hear all about gun control all the time, but I really wanted, and we just talked about how the FDA has just, with one fell swoop and the stroke of a pen, banned the Juul vape cigarettes. Well, I am here to suggest that they ban something else because, I mean, everybody would like something to be banned, right? We all would. And this is my thing. And I'm going to start a website and a nonprofit and make a bunch of money when I suggest that we ban mailbox flags. You all know that this is tongue in cheek, right? You know that this is. This is from KABB. I'm assuming that's a Fox affiliate in Texas. Listen to this. This is outrageous. A man is in custody after attacking a family member with a mailbox flag, according to authorities. Police said the incident happened at a home in Texas just before 1 o'clock in the morning on Monday. When police arrived at the scene, they said they saw a man, and I'm not trying to diminish the suffering and the terror. I mean, clearly the guy is going to be PTSD forever because of this. Listen to this. When police arrived at the scene, they say they saw a man covered in blood and screaming, "Help me," from the back of the house. Officers then saw the suspect and ordered him to get on the ground. The suspect said police was holding a metal object in his hand. After he didn't comply, the officers used a stun gun before taking him into custody. The officers then learned that the suspect was holding a bloodied mailbox flag in his hand. Well, I mean, I could have written this. You could have written this. Officers say they believe the suspect was under the influence. Police said the family member told them he gave the suspect a hug when he arrived at the house. That's when the suspect snapped and pulled out the mailbox flag and began stabbing and hitting him, cutting and slicing him several times. The family member ran to the back of the house to get help from other family members. He was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The suspect was also taken to the hospital for treatment. Good God, man. Attacking with a mailbox flag. You know, these stories. All right, I want to get you involved because I've been squawking and Spike was squawking and we've been squawking. I'm going to open up the phone lines right now, 490-5858 or 800-776-5858. And the topic is biopic. And it's kind of a new word. It's a word that I haven't known for many, many years. Biopic, short for biographical picture, biographical motion picture, a movie about somebody. Okay. And the story is from BuzzFeed. I am genuinely curious if you think these 35 celebrities deserve their own biopics or not. Because the Elvis movie is coming out. I think it starts within, I think it actually opens tomorrow or, yeah, I think it opens tomorrow. There's a biopic coming out about Elvis Presley. And this is a movie that, I mean, I've seen the people that are in the movie making the rounds on TV and social media. They're really pushing it hard. The picture, the movie, when it says 1932, the picture. The movie is actually sanctioned by the family. So Priscilla Presley has given her stamp of approval to it, as has Lisa Marie Presley, Elvis's daughter. So that's coming out this week. So that's going to be the big blockbuster biopic of this summer. So this article is actually kind of funny. Who deserves to have a biopic? Now, there was Ray. Remember Ray Charles? That was played by Jamie Foxx. And then there was Nixon. That's probably going way back now. That was 20 years ago. That was Anthony Hopkins. And I'm trying to think of some of the other really great biopics that I've seen. And some of them are fantastic. And, you know, it's really, really hard for these actors to actually play one of these celebrities or one of these cultural icons. It's hard. Because whichever actor takes it on, you're trying not to be a caricature of that person, whoever it happens to be. You don't want to be a cartoon character of whoever it is from history. Now, one of the movies, my favorite war movie that I've ever seen, it's a German film, and maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've just seen the jokes and the parodies online, and I'm talking about Downfall. Downfall is the first. And it's, I mean, that's 20 years old now, too. That's the first German cinema's attempt to chronicle Adolf Hitler in the bunker in the last, what, 2 weeks of his life as he sat in the bunker and the world imploded around him. And they, what's the guy that played Obi-Wan Kenobi? Alec Guinness tried to play Hitler, and Anthony Hopkins, and it's actually Sir Alec Guinness too. I mean, the best English actors have tried to portray Hitler, and it always is a little bit silly, because when they start ranting and screaming and raving, it's they're doing it in English, and so that's kind of dumb. But the downfall, I guess you could maybe say that's a biopic, but maybe not, because a biopic tells the life story of whoever the subject is. So this is very funny. I actually had a little bit of fun with this, and I never have fun on the internet. It's kind of a sour experience for me. But BuzzFeed has suggested some celebrities, and then you can vote. Does Halsey deserve to have a biopic? And the choices are yes, no, or I don't know who this person is. Well, I guess Halsey's a singer. Does Will Smith deserve to have his own biopic? And it goes on, and Dolly Parton is on here, and 96% said yes for her. Elon Musk, and 77% said no. Here's Ellen DeGeneres. Some of them are kind of funny. Okay, here's one. Number 9, Amy Winehouse. I think she should have a biopic, because I'm a fan of her music, and I think she had it. Or emphasis should be on it. I think she had it. I think her music is fantastic. So let's see. I'll vote yes. So 77% of folks said yes. So my question for you as we go into the final half hour is, let's have a little bit of fun with this. And let's say it could be political people. It could be pop culture people, singers, actors. Who out there that doesn't have one? Or you know what? Let's even open it up even more. What's a biopic that you enjoyed? Because I'm really drawing a blank. I suppose I could just Google famous biopics or whatever, and they would come up. I just gave myself an idea. I'm going to help everybody out with that. But what's your favorite biopic? And who deserves one? Who deserves the Hollywood treatment that hasn't yet received it? Who is that celebrity or famous person or cultural icon? I mean, Gandhi, remember? I mean, now I'm going, okay, so that's like 40-some years back. But okay, Gandhi had one. He's a cultural icon. And I'm trying to think. My mind is racing. So you can help me. 490-5858 or 800-776-5858. Phone lines are open. Who deserves to have their own biopic? What would you go to see? Are you going to see the Elvis one? Or do you just avoid these kinds of, I suppose, nonfiction reality-based movies? Do you prefer the superheroes and you like to forget about reality? Well, I like these things because I like the costumes, and I like the set design. I like to say, oh, wow, you've recreated a typical 1960s living room. I think that kind of stuff is cool. All right, 490-5850 or 800-776-5858. Help me out with biopics right now.
This is the Ray Appleton Show on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Click the podcast page at KMJNow.com.
Welcome back, Clint, in for Ray. I've got about another 24 minutes left today and then tomorrow, and then Ray will be back the week after next. So he is on a very well-deserved vacation. We're talking about biopics, a relatively newer word, I think. Biographical movies. The one about Elvis, I think, starts tomorrow. Is that what Liz just reported as the Elvis movie comes out? That's going to be a big one. So I found on BuzzFeed which stars, which cultural icons deserve to have their own biopic. I thought that's a great topic for the KMJ audience, because so diverse, always thinking and has different interests. They will be able to name some of these people. I don't think that some of these knuckleheads on their list, some of them I've never even heard of, but maybe that's because I'm getting old. So I've got a couple calls holding. I'm going to get to them, but I found this list on IMDb. All I did was go to the Google, and it gave me exactly what I was looking for, because everything's on the internet. This is IMDb, the 50 greatest biopics of all time, and I'm only going to breeze through a few. Number one, they say it's Amadeus, 1984. That's the movie about Mozart, right? Number two, Gandhi, 1982. Number three, well, this is a surprise, Lawrence of Arabia, 1962. Number four, Malcolm X. That was with Denzel Washington, 1992. Number five, Schindler's List. It tells the story of Oscar Schindler, 1993. Number six, Raging Bull, the life of boxer Jake LaMotta. Number seven, Goodfellas, the story of Henry Hill. He was a mob operative. Number eight, The King's Speech about King George VI. Number nine, Braveheart, 1995. Number 10, George S. Patton, the American general. Very controversial dude. Let's go to the phones right now on line one. And Michelle, you've been patiently holding. Welcome to KMJ. Who should get a biopic?
Johnny Cash.
Oh, Johnny Cash?
Yes.
Well, I've got good news for you then. Now number 13 on the list. Michelle, have you seen Walk the Line?
Oh, yes. I like Walk the Line.
Well, that's about Johnny.
Yep. I like that.
Well, there you go. And I appreciate you chiming in. Enjoy Walk the Line. Let's go back to the phones right now on line two and talk with Larry. Larry, who deserves a biopic?
I'm going to go with Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner. Now, that's interesting. I mean, he's definitely a cultural icon. I think there'd be a lot of editing involved because his life, let's just say that in Hugh's life, he spent a large percentage of it not wearing clothes. So that might present maybe a problem.
HBO Max can do it. They got it.
There you go. Larry, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Let's go back to line one and talk with... Oh, here we go. And talk with Jennifer. Jennifer, welcome to KMJ. What's your idea for a good biopic?
Okay, now that the trial is over, what about Johnny Depp?
Well, you know what? I think that's a good idea. On these kinds of things, obviously whoever gets the movie has got to have a body of work. Someone who's done something extraordinary. I mean, even Goodfellas, which is maybe one of the best movies of all time. It was just about a street hood, a low-level mob functionary. But the guy had a pretty extraordinary body of work when it comes to, I guess, hijacking and stealing and murder and gambling. But, I mean, he got his own biopic. No, I think that would be interesting. I think Depp's done enough in his life to warrant one of those. No, I appreciate.
He's got a band and he can't really sing that well, but I mean, he's a great actor.
No, he is a great actor, and I think he's approaching a cultural icon too. Jennifer, I appreciate your call. Thank you. 490-5858 or 800-776-5858. I've gone through the first 10. I want to know who you think should get their own biopic, biographical motion picture. For those of you who don't like the new word biopic, which I'm kind of not really a fan. Let's go through the next 10. Number 11, Catch Me If You Can. This is the story of, I forget his last name. His name is I don't know. I don't have it. Anyway, this is a story. I mean, this guy was a skilled forger who was running away from the FBI, and they had a hard time tracking him down. That's a good one. 2002, The Last Emperor, 1987. That one I saw was quite boring. And then number 13, the one Michelle Walked the Line about Johnny Cash. Number 14, A Brilliant Mind. John Nash, the mathematician. So it doesn't have to be Elvis or Nixon or one of these major figures. I mean, nobody knew about this guy, John Nash, and Russell Crowe played it beautifully, and that was a beautiful mind. The Social Network. I mean, obviously, we're all dealing with Mark Zuckerberg every day, numerous times a day, if we have Facebook. Number 15, number 16, The Pianist. A Polish-Jewish musician struggles to survive the destruction of the Warsaw Ghetto during the war. Number 17, Capote. Number 18, Abraham Lincoln, or it's just called Lincoln. That movie had some problems with historical accuracy. Number 19, The Aviator, about Howard Hughes. And number 20, Notorious, the life and death of the notorious B.I.G., a.k.a. Christopher Wallace. Biggie Smalls, the very famous rapper, Notorious B.I.G. Okay, we are going to go back to the phones now, and there you all are. Let's go to line one and talk with Adrian. Adrian, suggestions for good biopics.
Hey, how about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Ooh.
From Austria, bodybuilder, Mr. Universe, Hollywood actor, star.
Yeah.
Governator.
The Governator, yeah. I mean, now what an interesting life. When Arnold came here, he was penniless, right?
Correct.
And he's a good inspiration for those of us skinny people who want to bulk up. Adrian, that's a great suggestion, and I thank you for it. David, on line two, suggest a biopic for me.
Robin Williams.
Ooh, okay. And producer Mike Martinez, just his head flew back and he's nodding. Absolutely. But see, this is one of those that might be a little hard to play because Robin Williams was such a giant that anybody who signs up to play him automatically is being compared and judged. Do you know of anybody out there that could do it?
You'd have to pick a no name, somebody that's not known for anything. Give them a fresh start. Just try and that's going to be the one offer type deal. Like, cause nobody now comes to mind to play the role.
You know what? I thank you for the call. I so far you're winning because Schwarzenegger was good, and Robin Williams is great. Well, actually, caller Michelle, who suggested to do a biopic about Johnny Cash, she wins because her idea already has been made. But this one about Robin Williams, absolutely. And it would have to be a no name. And that's a biopic I would go to see because Robin Williams remains beloved. And he was a fascinating, fascinating person, a tortured soul, to be sure, but a fascinating individual who left a mark on what? 2-3 generations of people. I mean, he was so great in Night at the Museum, and that was what made in 04 or 05 or 06. And my kids love that movie. And Robin Williams plays Teddy Roosevelt. So, I mean, he's even beloved by my children who are very small. So, and his legacy lives on. Okay, we're going to come back. Phone lines are open 490-5858 or 800-776-5858. Come on, we got Schwarzenegger suggested, we got Robin Williams suggested. There are more out there, and I'm relying on you to call in and tell me who gets the next biopic. It's Clint in for Ray on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ.
This is the Ray Appleton Show.
Get Ray Appleton.
KMJnow.com.
Click the podcast page.
See, I'm not a one-trick pony. I'm not a one-dimensional guy. I don't just sit here and complain about things. Okay, maybe 80%, 85% of the time I'm in this chair, I'm sitting here complaining about things, but I'm not complaining about things right now. I found an article on BuzzFeed that said which celebrities warrant getting their own biopic, and we've had some good suggestions from the KMJ audience. You are the best audience in the United States. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Johnny Depp, and what was the most recent one we got? I should be writing these things down. Let's go to line six right now and talk with Bree. Bree, suggest a good biopic subject.
Betty White.
Oh, okay. Now I'm writing them down. That's really good. That's a really good idea. I mean, she spent, what, 65, 70 years in Hollywood?
Yeah. She was married to famous talk show host.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, here's a question. Who would you...
Alan Ludden.
Oh, yeah, and I do know the name. Who would you get to play Betty White? It'd probably have to be kind of the same as Robin Williams, right? When you're trying to take on the role of a cultural icon, you can't...
Yeah, I'd be a no-name.
Huh, Betty White. Okay, I think that's a great idea. A good suggestion. Thanks for the call, Bree. Appreciate it. Let's go to line one and talk with Diana. Diana, who would you like to see them make a movie about?
Hi there. Yeah, you know, actually, Robin Williams, there was a movie made about him with Jamie Costa in 2021.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
All right, I'm going to look it up. Was it, it was about his life?
Yeah, it just like showed the Mark and Mindy. I mean, he really played him really well.
Oh, you know what? You're right. It's wow. You must be a really big movie fan, cinephile.
Well, it impressed me, and when I heard that, I thought, wait a minute, no, there was.
Okay, so, it says anyway. And I appreciate the call. This is from CNN Entertainment in 2021. Yes, you are absolutely right. The actor's name is Jamie Costa. Jamie Costa's Robin Williams impersonation leaves fans clamoring for a whole film. So this is... Costa posted a 5-minute clip to his YouTube channel titled Robin Test Footage Scene on Tuesday, showing a scene featuring himself as Williams and Sarah Murphy as Pam Dauber on the set of Mork and Mindy. For those of you who don't remember Mork and Mindy, that was really what launched Robin Williams. He became a household name through that show. And my gosh, he must have been in his early 20s or at least his mid 20s when he took that on. And then it was just like onto the stratosphere for him because he was really, really good. Let's see. Let me go back to my list and read a few more of these. What did I do to my list? Okay, here we go. I'll just pick out some highlights of some of these cultural people. So we said Lincoln, the aviator was Howard Hughes. We did Notorious B.I.G. Let's see. The Elephant Man, The Imitation Game, Chaplin, about Charlie Chaplin. Milk, about Harvey Milk, the San Francisco supervisor. I enjoyed that movie. That was Sean Penn. I enjoyed it because it's a groundbreaking movie. And the Harvey Milk his struggles as an American gay activist who fought for gay rights and became California's first openly gay elected official. That's from IMDb. No, it's also about a city councilman. And I did enjoy that part of it because I've been in that world. JFK, Moneyball, Ali. Oh, that's Will Smith. That was good. Ali, about Muhammad Ali. Ray, we mentioned. Let's see, we can go further down here. Serpico, that's a famous movie. That's about a New York cop, Frank Serpico. And that was a big movie for... come on now. I'm looking at the man's face. What's the guy's name? Al Pacino. Good grief. Oh, here's The Last King of Scotland, about Idi Amin. So yeah, a lot of politicians get into this, and I'm just scrolling, and there's Nixon, and yeah. So we'll see. So Elvis, I think, opens tomorrow afternoon. If you're an Elvis fan, absolutely, I know you're going to go see it. And I bet you get a review next week from Diane Pierce, who's also a frequent fill-in for Ray on this station and on this show. And, of course, Diane's husband, Jeremy Elvis Pierce, does a tribute show that is actually very, very good, the best I've seen. So I'm sure she'll give you the movie review when she comes in here on Monday. Okay, tomorrow we do have Pastor John Cox from Redemption Bible Church coming in to talk about... We're not necessarily going to do culture war stuff, but we're going to talk about this recent study or this recent poll that just came out that the number of Americans who believe in God is at an all-time low. And this you know, as everyone says, is that society is narcissistic and society, everybody's putting themselves first and ahead of God and our society is crashing. We're going to talk about those kinds of things. John is a friend, and he's very, very bright, and he knows a lot of stuff. So he's going to be in with us at 11 o'clock tomorrow, and then we're going to get into the news of the day. And I bet there's going to be more backlash to the city council giving themselves a 70% raise. So I have enjoyed being with you today at work, in your car, at home, in your kitchen, and appreciate your generosity having me in. I will be back tomorrow. It is my last day. Philip and Skip are coming up at 2 with the afternoon drive, and I have to make a confession. I'm going to be kind of like a guest on that show. So I'm not going away yet for the day, but I appreciate everything. I love you all. And we'll send it over right now for Michael DeManuel Jr. with his commentary on the news and the disclaimer.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.